This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cannabis is one of the fastest growing industries in the world, but it's been a rough couple of years for weed stocks due to a lack of movement on legalization at the federal level. But things are starting to perk up again for the industry, and this may pose a great opportunity for investors. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Gains. We're talking cannabis, and that means we're bringing on Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital and author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. Mike, always great to have you on the Gains podcast.
Good afternoon, Andy, and thanks for having me on.
So, Mike, as mentioned in the lead, it's been a rough couple of years for weed stocks, but they've perked up a little bit as of late. Explain what's behind the recent shift.
So what started the jump was the Department of Health and Human Services coming out with a recommendation that they reschedule cannabis from Schedule 1 to preferably Schedule 3. And it doesn't become official because they can only recommend, and the DEA actually has to do the rescheduling if they're going to do it. But once that came out, cannabis, the MSOS, which is one of the main gauges I look at for the industry as a whole, at least in the United States, popped almost 100% in a few weeks, and was trading $9 from a lows in the fours. So that got it going, and then it pulled back a little bit, and now we're starting the year up again, and it has been one of our picks to click for the year, and so far it's been doing well, and it's back to 8.5.
But just again, quick, Mike, just for the Gains listeners, what Mike's talking about is MSOS is the ticker. That's the Advisor Share Pure U.S. Cannabis ETF. So that's what he's talking about. That's the basket of domestic cannabis stocks, and that's the vehicle that Mike's talking about, and he's talking about these gains here. Go ahead.
Yeah, so that I just use that because that is a good they own basically all the big multi-state operators. That's why the symbol's MSOS. It's for multi-state operators in the United States. So if that is wherever it's going is kind of telling you where the industry is going.
And you're talking, these are domestic companies, and that's important because the cannabis companies, and you talk about these multi-state operators looking to do really well. What comes to mind is companies like Green Thumb, Curaleaf Holdings, Verano, I believe, is a multi-state.
Those are some of the big ones,
yeah.
Right.
Those are kind of found in that cannabis ETF he was talking about. But you believe the U.S. cannabis multi-state operators really poised here, unlike in some of the darlings from weed stocks before, were some of the Canadian players that have totally gotten decimated. Aurora Cannabis, Sundial Growers, I think Canopy Growth was another darling. So, just wanted to talk about domestic and Canada and you know, how that squares out, and really the U.S. cannabis companies are where you need to be.
Yeah, well, the Canadian companies started off like a rocket ship, as you said, because it's legal up there in Canada on a national level. So these companies had a leg up on the U.S. operators, which are basically just it's just legal in certain states. So the Canadian companies did get bought quicker and had a much stronger start. This is 5 years ago. But what's happened in Canada is, first of all, they were priced for perfection. And, it was the fact that investors couldn't really get into the United States companies or the ones that were public. There wasn't a lot of liquidity, and it wasn't it was a bigger gamble, at least seen by investors, because it was still illegal at the federal level here in the United States. So the Canadian companies did well at the beginning, and now they're coming back down because they were priced so high versus their sales, versus any metric you would look at. And so now, and I've said this for a while, that the U.S. companies are our better bet based on valuations, because if the DEA does reschedule things as it is expected to do, these companies are going to be able to start making some serious money. And we can go into why they can't right now. And it's really just a tax problem. Because the feds don't allow them to deduct normal operating expenses, so it's really hard to make a bottom line profit as a U.S. company right now. But if it gets rescheduled to Schedule 3, that tax code changes to normal tax code where they can deduct their operating expenses, and it makes them actually make some real money. And that's why when the Department of Health and Human Services made their suggestion, recommendation, that these companies doubled quickly. But that's just still, there's still a lot of uncertainty. So until the DEA acts, you're going to have a little bit of volatility and people betting on what they're going to do either way. And when they do act, then you're going to see a big move one way or the other.
This is a bipartisan issue for the most part, and we've seen a lot of places that would totally repel something like this start to come around to this. And you had mentioned, you have a ton of states, Washington, D.C., all legalize weed for recreational use. And, you kind of spoke to it, bipartisan issue, but these U.S. companies don't really make any money until they address it. We got elections coming up. As I mentioned, it is a bipartisan issue. When do we see movement? What are you looking for to indicate that we're going to eventually see movement on the issue?
Yeah, well, the thing is the DEA, and supposedly an apolitical, entity. So they're not beholden to the voters, but they certainly are beholden to suggestions or recommendations from the Department of Health and Human Services. So they are going to, at some point very soon, it could be tomorrow, literally, but it should be in the next month or two at latest, are going to do something. And they're either going to reschedule it or not. But so when that happens, there's going to be a big move in the ETFs and in these stocks. I mean, they're going to double again, or they're going to get cut back in half, or maybe even worse. Because if the DEA doesn't do what is basically told to them by a study by the Department of Health and Human Services, then it isn't going to get rescheduled, maybe ever, but certainly in the foreseeable future, and that will make profitability in the industry almost impossible. So this is a huge thing that we're waiting on, and we'll have to see what the DEA does. But it usually takes the suggestion or the recommendation. So that's what's expected. So you could say that maybe there's a little bit of expectations built into where these stocks are trading, but they're still at historically such low levels that if they do get the rescheduling, you got to believe they pop at least 50%. I think it could be almost 100% again into the middle to upper teens from about 8.5 where it is right now. So, but we're waiting on DEA. And then there, as far as politically, as you stated, it's a bipartisan issue. 70% of voters want cannabis reform. Doesn't matter, Republican, Democrat, Independent. That's across the board. So going into election year, will we get movement in Congress for safe banking, for just things that make it easier to do business? I mean, there's basically every possible headwind right now in this industry, both in the taxation front, on ability to use credit cards for the customers, to bank with large banks. There's just so much that could be taken away as far as headwinds that who knows how high this goes. But again, if nothing happens, this thing is going to start ticking back down to new lows. And the question then is this is a bet of the DEA, what they're going to do, and then Congress, if in an election year, they will actually finally pass something of a cannabis reform act that has something to do with safe banking, that allows these companies to go cashless, or not cashless, at least not depend fully on cash. Can you imagine running a company where all your transactions are in cash and you literally have tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars in your stores waiting for somebody to come in and try to steal it? I mean, that's what's happening right now. Yeah. And these companies, the big multi-state operators, they run a tight ship, but there's nothing they can do about that. I mean, it's a problem.
Security is an issue. I mean, some of these stores, with the amount of cash that comes in there, you almost need Brinks trucks to pull
it
out.
They use Brinks trucks. Yeah.
Exactly. A lot of times now, they've shifted a little bit in Illinois. I believe that there is some use of ATM cards, if I'm not mistaken. They are making some changes to make it a little bit easier. And that's where I want to shift to Illinois. You know about the Illinois cannabis industry really well, Mike, having connections in it. How is things shaping up locally?
Well, full disclosure, I'm a early investor in PharmaCann, which is one of the largest MSOs in the country, and basically the only large MSO that is not public. So we're still private. Along with, I mean, Illinois is literally a hotbed of cannabis companies, where you've got besides us, Cresco. You've already mentioned Green Thumb and Verano, and these are huge companies that do, you know, billion-dollar sales type companies a year. And we have a lot of experience in Illinois because the first licenses a lot of these companies got were here in the state of Illinois. And I got to say that Governor Pritzker has been fantastic in rolling out the cannabis in the state of Illinois. So we started out with medical, and then we went to where it was legal recreationally. He allowed it to be very seamless. He realized that the original license holders, these large MSOs that sunk a ton of money into building out the cannabis industry in Illinois and pay a lot of tax dollars to the state, he realized that they should get some licenses and be protected at the beginning, because they basically spent all the money to build out the industry. So they have all the experience in operating, you know, so that's how it was rolled out in Illinois, and that's not the way it is necessarily being done in other states, and one in particular is New York. So New York is still not, I mean, it's been legal recreationally there for a few years, and they still haven't really rolled it out. Like, comparing to Illinois, where once it went legal the next January, the stores were opening. You know, New York, we're 2 years in, I think it's almost 3 years, and they're struggling to get, but they have, there's a lot of stores that are up in New York that are illegal. They don't have licenses. It's crazy. I mean, there's a few in Illinois, but nothing compared to New York. So every state is different, as you said, but Illinois is like the poster child for the proper way to roll this out and and to make sure that the customers get the best product, the customers get the best operators, the pricing is as low as possible because you're going with the best operators, so they have the lowest expenses. They can bring the product to consumers at the lowest prices, and you know they're doing Illinois is doing a fantastic job. So I mean, there's really nothing I could say negative about how things are happening in Illinois. It's going to get more competitive here as more licenses are given out. But you know, this is about as good as you can get. And really, it's a very mature industry here in Illinois because it was rolled out so well. But yeah, like I said, in other states, it really varies.
All right, we got to cut away real quick. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's an option for you. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings. We'll be right back with Mike after the break.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
Back with Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital and author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. Mike, the one thing that has really struck me about all of this is the demand is there. When you go into dispensaries, I think the thing that's interesting is you have that 75-year-old grandmother. You have, a young couple in there as well. So it's interesting how you can openly talk about it without it being, it has changed fast. And you see, how Illinois has rolled it out. There's dispensaries everywhere. They've done a ton of business. And just looking at this nationwide, even places like Florida, you can just tell the way, I believe Florida's medical, but they've Yes. opened dispensaries all over. And you can see that these companies that are down in Florida are positioned to when that goes recreational there. I mean, there's a ton of money to be made. It's just getting the legality and...
it's a 280 tax code. I mean, can you imagine running a business where you can't deduct your operating expenses? I mean, it's impossible to make money. And it's not like the government doesn't know that. It's not like...
Are they going to kill an industry long term? I mean, you have substantial money also going into the states as well. So... with these kind of roadblocks, I just can't see them holding up such a profitable industry that a lot of people, most people don't even have a problem with anymore. It just seems like when they get this right, we're looking off to the races, and when it expands, it's big time. And like we talked about it earlier, I don't think these Canada players are going to be that much involved.
Yeah, a lot of them are in very poor financial shape now because they went so aggressive, and they just made a lot of poor business decisions. So a lot of their balance sheets are really upside down. So, it's ironic. They had the head start, but they made a lot of fumbles along the way. And really, the MSOs are the ones that are in better shape financially, but they can't get cash flow positive. If they are, they're barely because of the tax code. But if that gets changed, which it should, and again, you bring up a great point. I mean, are they going to strangle these companies? And I mean, the amount of taxes that the states are going to lose because of that, I find it hard to believe when 70% of consumers want cannabis reform. It's totally mainstream now. But we'll see. We'll see what the DEA says. That's the big one, and that's also the one that's most likely to happen soon. So that'll set the tone for the rest of the year, what happens. I expect it to happen in the first quarter sometime, and we'll see. But, it'd be hard to believe that with so many people not only accepting cannabis as a mainstream product, but also using it. I mean, so many consumers now use it that didn't before, that it would be hard to believe that they would strangle this industry. But that has been happening for years now, and so I think we're finally at a point where it's gonna happen in the next. In this next quarter, whether the DEA, it's in their hands, whether they reschedule to a point where that companies can actually start deducting their normal expenses that any other company is able to do.
And cannabis certainly has lost the stigma it carried for a long time. I guess then, how does the investor position themselves to cash in on all of this, knowing that it might not be right away, there are roadblocks, but I mean, the first thing that comes to mind, and we've talked about this before, my play personally, and I've got this from you, and this is the way I watch the industry, is my pure play is that advisor share pure U.S. cannabis ETF MSOS. But, and I keep an eye on some of the players I talked about before. How do you play all of this? What's your advice for investors?
Well, now, me personally, and MJP Capital, like I said, we're very, very long a private company, PharmaCann. So we don't have a lot of other interests. We have a few ancillary companies as well, but we are not long the MSOS right now. But I'm recommending that as opposed to picking a company. You can't even buy PharmaCann because it's private, but the public ones that are out there, they're great operators, but you know, you take a chance of individual corporate issues. We do like of them for you know, I do want to say we like Green Thumb the best, but I would rather investors just buy MSOS because you're able to then, you know, take advantage of the entire industry and not have to stock pick. A lot of times, I'd rather see ETFs bought because stock picking becomes a little bit of, not a little bit, a lot of luck. You can get some bad luck, some good luck, but you know what happens if you own one of these operators and just something comes out on the individual stock, some fraud or something that happens, but the industry ends up taking off. You're going to miss that, and I'd rather just see investors buy the entire sector, and that's it. And MS. The other thing is liquidity. MSOS trades a lot more, you know, liquid than any of the individual names. So, you know, that again is a reason to go with that as opposed to an individual name.
Yeah, why not own the entire sector and have a ton of liquidity tied to it?
Yeah, it traded 3.1 million shares today. So, you know, if you were really really excited about the industry, you could have bought what is that, $24 million worth of MSOS just today. So that's a lot of pot. So you know, you can get in and out of those shares very easily, and some of the individual stocks, because there's just a lot of fear out there that the individual stocks aren't trading nearly with that kind of liquidity.
It's kind of refreshing that the buzz has turned away from the industry, because I believe that on the investment side, that kind of provides an opportunity.
That's generally when the opportunity is, right? So the opportunity was, you know, middle of last year when it was traded 4.5, and there was no interest. Like, it was tough to even get liquidity in MSOS. I mean, it was still trading decent size, but not like it is now. But now, you know, it's back in the news, and you know, we have to wait for the DEA, but it's hard to believe they're not going to reschedule to a point where these companies can finally start making some money, and they'll get valued at a multiple of their EBITDA, as opposed to right now, really it's just, can they survive? I mean, a lot of them are being valued at, all right, what's the salvage value of their, you know, assets minus liabilities on their balance sheet? I mean, it's because it's hard to value an EBITDA number when it's not real. because you can't deduct the normal expenses, so EBITDA doesn't really matter until you can actually deduct them. So, you know, you'll start seeing these companies being valued as multiples of EBITDA and multiples of PE and like every other company. And, you know, that should cause these stocks to skyrocket. I mean, at least I think it's at least a double. And if the, you know, also get the safe banking going from Congress, it could go even higher than that. I mean, MSOS was trading $50 right after Biden was elected, and the Dems had promised cannabis reform, and you know it went from 50 to 4.5, 5 over the last couple years as every month or 2 months people just started realizing that nothing's going to get done, you know. But now, are we at the lows? Have we seen the lows? And are we finally going to get some reform? And you know, we'll have to see. But I do think this is a seminal year. This is a huge year for the industry, and I expect it to be a huge positive year. That's why we had recommended it actually on WBBM in December as one of our two stocks we loved for 2024. And so far it's looking good. But we have to see what you know. There's luck involved. You have to. You know, you have to wait on what the DEA decides.
Now, we know MSOS, you know, the ETF is the play, but it is the Gains podcast. And there's a lot of us that are degens looking for the 5, the 10, the 20 baggers. Do you have, and if you don't, I understand, but is there a pick that for us degens that want, you know, we'll buy our MSOS and that's actually stable? You know, that's low volatility for us Gains listener degens. But, you know, knowing that there's a ton of risk, we could totally lose money. Do you have a 10, 20 bagger out there for us, Mike?
Okay, so let me just give you three levels. So after MSOS, if you want to go with the best individual stock, which is riskier than MSOS, I would go with Green Thumb. That's GTBIF, okay? That's, you know, a 3 or 4 bagger. Then you want to go with something that is riskier than that, down up the risk curve. It would be Cresco. That's a 5 bagger, maybe even a 10 bagger, and that symbol is CRLB, as in boy, F as well. But then, okay, if you want a stock that is a 20, 30 bagger.
My guy. Okay. That's what we're looking for, SDGens.
Yeah, so that would be a company called Consortium. But let me tell you, with this company comes bankruptcy risk if things don't play out in time. So, like, they're at a point where they're circling the drain, and if something doesn't happen soon, they go to zero. Even if down the road, a year from now, something does happen, it might be too late. So that company, again, is Consortium, and its symbol is CN. TMF, okay, and that's trading 12, like 13 cents.
And this is for the degens. We understand that. You know,
I mean, I know what, you, and I'm gonna just make one my statement. I always do when I give a name like that out is that I personally would not buy this stock, but because it's got its balance sheet is just upside down. But if we can get a ruling quickly from the DEA and things start turning around, this is the exact stock that's going to absolutely skyrocket. It's kind of like when Bitcoin goes up a little bit, you've got these, you know, third tier coins that just absolutely fly.
Yes.
You know, that's what Consortium is in the cannabis industry.
It was the Shiba Inu coin.
There you go.
Of the
there
crypto. Yeah. No, I really appreciate that. And again, we, you know, listening to this podcast, the Gains listeners, you know, we know that that's super risky. You know, the other stuff, MSOS, obviously is a legit way to get to the space. But thanks for breaking that down.
Sure.
So final thoughts. We covered a lot of ground on cannabis, pot stocks going forward. I'm with you. I think it's a big year. I'm very hopeful. And I've seen the stigma gone. I see the lines outside of these places downtown. You know, it's, and I've seen the expansion in other places as well. So with all that being said, wrap up our convo here, Mike.
Yeah. first quarter, look for DEA to make a decision. We expect it to be positive, so they'll reschedule it to 3. That should pop MSOS into the teens from where it is 8.5 right now. And then from there, it's going to be dependent on the Congress, whether in an election year they'll be willing to pass something that, like safe banking, that could further bolster the stock prices at that point. But the DEA is the big one, and it's coming out in the next few months. I can't believe they'll wait longer than that. And that will be a big, big thing. But again, keep in mind, if they don't reschedule it, we're looking at back down to new lows in these names. So it's a huge decision. And as a shareholder of a private company in the industry, I mean, it's pretty it's nerve-wracking and to have to depend on an entity like the DEA to determine your company's fate. And it's unfortunate, but that's where we're at right now.
Always appreciate the insight from Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital and author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If that's an option for you, I've been told that's podcast gold. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings, and I look forward to seeing you then.
A News Radio WBBM podcast, powered by Odyssey.